I wear my mother's miraculous medal. I've worn it every day since the day she died more than 2 decades ago. I think it's very beautiful. It's heart-shaped, it has a little bit of mother of pearl, and it has some marcasite around the edge. A miraculous medal, it's a thing in Roman Catholic lore. It's a very particular, special devotional medal to Mary, the mother of Jesus, revealed to her, revealed to St. Catherine Labouré in 1830 in a vision. It says around the oval, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." I always wore one growing up, and now I wear my mother's. When I take it off before I go to bed, I kiss it, which is a long ingrained piety from my youth with objects we would hold that were blessed. Now, I know in hardcore Episcopal circles, we don't go in much for that kind of thing. But all these long years, I have reached for my miraculous medal when I needed support. I pray with my heart, and I rub it with my finger until this silver image of Mary is worn smooth and shiny on it. I don't think that this little silver object has power. But I do think that Mary, Jesus' mother, loves us and watches over us. And I know that my mother, Eileen Rose McVeigh, loves me and watches over me. And I know that Jesus loves me. But Mary and my beloved mother and Jesus, well, they're not here in the flesh holding my hand. And sometimes my hand needs holding, sometimes desperately. And so I can reach for my miraculous medal with my hand while I pray with my heart. If I but touch his clothes, I will be well. Physical connection. It's powerful. There's faith and there's flesh. Are they separate? When Jesus was walking among us, they weren't separate. The woman today was drawn to Jesus, to get close enough to Jesus to be healed, to touch merely his clothes and be back among the living. Because in her condition of constant bleeding, in her society, she was considered like the dying. That made her unclean and an outcast. The dying did not walk among the living. But to touch Jesus would bring her back in. Touch. And Jairus' daughter was dying, and this man, a highly placed leader in the synagogue, we're told, he was desperate and he fell at Jesus' feet and begged. There is so much body going on in today's gospel. Jesus lived full body, fully human, even as his divinity flowed through him. The woman with the hemorrhage touched his cloak, and he felt her. He felt his power flow to her body to heal her. When she fell down before him, he said, "Go in peace, not stay down on your knees." And when Jesus went to Jairus' little girl, he didn't mutter incantations. He took her hand, flesh on flesh. When she awakened, she immediately began walking around using her body. He told them to get her something to eat, not to fall down on the ground and praise him, just to eat. The body. Then and now, this is where we meet God, in our bodies. They're not dualistically separate from our spiritual life. For the Christian, our daily human interactions are the venue for experiencing and expressing the presence of Christ, the place where we strive to embody Christ for others. That is sacred human work. And I say to you today, sacred human is not an oxymoron. We talk about being Christ's hands and feet in the world because our interactive world turns on hands and feet. We have this inherited intellectual theology of fallen flesh. But when Jesus lived among us in the flesh, his very coming honored the flesh. And in his life among us, he did not despise the flesh. He healed the flesh. He healed the hemorrhaging woman. He raised Jairus' daughter from death to life again in the flesh. Why is it that we have such a tough time accepting Jesus' embrace of his humanity and the sacredness of our shared humanity and acting accordingly? Jesus wanted to touch his friend Lazarus' humanity so much that he raised him from the dead. He understood Jairus' anguish so much that he raised his daughter. He loved his disciples so much that when he rose from the dead, he came to them in the flesh and proved it to them, saying, "Put your hand in my side." And he understood the hemorrhaging woman's desperation, her need to be allowed to touch other people again. His healing flowed out, drawn, yes, by her faith, but also, I think, the magnet of her need to be touched and held in community. Here and now is where we meet Jesus. Our human relationships are sacred. The way we treat each other in our humanity is the way we live as followers of Jesus. There's all this now language that we read in Scripture. Last week in the letter to Paul, now is the acceptable time. Well, now means in your body. Your body is the place where you meet God. And so it is the place where everyone meets God. Jesus didn't leave anyone outside the circle of touch. The woman in today's gospel was an outsider in her culture, ritually impure, considered the taint of death. No one would touch her. So she touched Jesus. And Jesus touched her back. What is happening in our physical world, in the world of relationships, not only matters, it is sacred. Sacred enough that Jesus' very divine power flowed out of him in response to one person's need. Sacred enough that Jesus took a dead girl's hand in his, a shocking cultural impurity, and told her to get up and rejoin her family. If an esoteric notion of spirit were all that mattered, if this life were so insignificant to the next, well, then why Jesus at all? Now imagine how it was for Jesus. As word spread around about him, everywhere he went, he was faced with overwhelming need and misery, people coming to him for relief. And though he was God, in his incarnation, he was but one human being. Two hands, a body that got tired, that needed sustenance, that needed comfort. I'm sure that wanted to heal every single misery and injustice that he saw, but only able to reach as many as his one body and a couple of hands could do on any given day. But we see time and again how the individual mattered to Jesus. There was a throng of curious, needy people gathered around Jesus in today's gospel, so much so that his disciples were confused. How the heck are we supposed to know who touched you? Look at this crowd. But Jesus felt one woman's touch, and he went away with that one anguished father in the midst of the big crowd. The individual mattered. Yes, Jesus came with saving love for all of us, but he did reach out person by person. Now that's a powerful charge and a powerful comfort to me. In this world of titanic, desperate need, we can be overwhelmed by it, like the crowd of needs pressing in on Jesus. But his eye, being connected to Jairus, one anguished father, and going with him. If you went to the massive mobilization at SeaTac Detention Center yesterday, if you marched with the more than 1,000 people who filled up St. Mark's and St. James a week ago, if you went because of the need to demand human compassion and justice for immigrant families, if you wrote one letter or email to a legislator, if you made one phone call to the Attorney General, if you brought one pair of shoes or socks with you for an immigrant family, did your one voice matter? The need is a tidal wave. Did it matter? Well, touching one person, recognizing the humanity of one woman and leading her back into the circle of society that had rejected her, mattered to Jesus. Our drop in the bucket to welcome those who are cast aside matters because it becomes its own tidal wave. Do not feel hopeless, because we're doing what Jesus did when we step up in welcome and support for even just one body. A paraphrase based on the Talmud says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." Do not be daunted by the enormity of what we are called to as Christians in these times. Today, we find Jesus flow through us when we touch our Muslim brothers and sisters to stand up for their inclusion by protesting the Muslim ban and working to change it. We find Jesus flow through us when we join Casa Latina on the 4th of July to write letters of support and bring socks and underwear for a shelter for migrant families in El Paso. One body with new clean socks matters. Do not give up hope. You're not obligated to complete the work all by yourself, but neither are you free to abandon it. I am Christ's hands and feet in the world, and you are Christ's hands and feet in the world. Christ doesn't need us to be his spirit in the world. The Holy Spirit is blowing wherever she wills, all the time, through us, in us, all the time. We recognize that spirit in our bodies and in how we respect the holiness of the body of every single human being, especially those others want to cast aside and keep outside. The poet Mary Oliver asks the poignant question, "What will you do with your one wild, precious life?" It's not just a poetic existential question. It's a boots-on-the-ground question. Our humanity is sacred. Our relationships are sacred. Our need for each other is sacred in Jesus' eyes, sacred enough that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Your body is the place where you meet God and where you are called to recognize God in every other person's personhood. You don't have to go out and get a miraculous medal. Your hand is a miraculous medal. We touch Jesus' cloak every time we touch one another, especially when we reach out to one who has been cast aside, because those are the very ones in the gospel that Jesus touched back. Just do what a body can do. Jesus is there.